When the disciples heard the voice from the cloud, they fell on their faces and were terrified. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Rise and have no fear." In the name of Jesus. Amen. You ever been terrified of light? Usually we are terrified of dark. Yet today we learn how God's holiness is a whole other matter. For the unveiled glory of the Lord does startle. Here we see how his face shone, his clothes glowed. Moses and Elijah appeared. And there's this cloud that comes with the voice from heaven. Very, very familiar. Kind of a mimic of Jesus' baptism, where heaven broke open and you hear the voice. "This is my beloved Son. Listen to him." But what do grown men do? They don't talk. They don't worship. They don't stand. They fall on their face. They didn't know why Jesus was wanting to take them hiking. They climbed the mountain, probably tired, confused, probably thinking, "This is just another long day with Jesus." Then, without warning, everything changes. Is this routine or is this rehearsal? When God shows up, do you imagine your own selves to be comfortable? Maybe we aren't as comfortable with God's holiness as we think. So I ask, if God really showed himself, do you think you would finally feel strong, finally feel assured, finally feel at peace? Well, Scripture tells a different story. Every time God's holiness breaks in, sinners collapse. Adam hides, Israel trembles, Isaiah cries out, the disciples fall to the ground. Because holiness doesn't flatter us, it exposes us. Now, we do not fear God because he's cruel. We fear God because he's true, and truth has weight. The law today says this: when God stops being an idea and becomes present, we realize how small, fragile, and unprepared we really are. That's why we like distance. That's why we like explanations. That's why we like God managed. And that's exactly what happens in Exodus 34. When Moses comes down the mountain and his face shines with the reflected glory of God, what happens? The people are afraid. They do not draw near. They pull back. And then Moses has to put a veil over his face. And the veil is not for Moses' sake. It is for the people. They cannot bear even reflected glory. They need God filtered, buffered, covered. And the law reveals this instinct in us. Do not come too close. Do not show yourselves fully. Make God safe. And so we still build veils. Distance becomes a veil. Religion, too, can even become a way to keep God's presence not too close, not too present. You don't want to do that. Because the fact of the matter is, when God comes near, we fall. Notice how long the disciples stay down. Matthew doesn't rush them up. They stay face down in the dust. And this matters because nothing changes until Jesus moves. Now, whenever I read this, the veil over Moses' face account, I can't help but think about something that I had as a child. The glowworm. Remember that? That was my security light. The glowworm, if I had to go to the bathroom as a kid in the middle of the night, I didn't like getting up in the dark. It's hard to see. He pushed his little belly, right? The little green, soft little belly. His whole face lights up. Always think about that. But this is not a glowworm moment. This is a holy, holy, holy Lord God of Sabaoth moment. The law says this plainly. We cannot lift ourselves up to God. Not morally, not spiritually, not even emotionally. Left to ourselves, we stay face down. The disciples don't stand themselves up. They don't even gather courage. They don't talk it out. Left alone, they stay down. Don't you see? That's us. But Jesus doesn't stay in the cloud. He comes down the mountain. He walks over to frightened men and he touches them. The shining Christ touches sinners and then commands them to arise. Jesus doesn't command them to climb, to enter, or remain. He tells them to arise. And these words, this vocabulary, is that of resurrection. What Matthew's doing is he's contrasting Exodus with the light of the gospel. The gospel is the answer to fear. The arise command answers fear. Jesus doesn't even explain the vision. He does not decode the symbols. He does not linger on in glory. He simply says, rise and have no fear. And that's because fear is not answered by information, but by Christ's touch and word. This is not a word of encouragement given either. It is resurrection spoken. This is the heart of the message. That Jesus doesn't shout from heaven. He does not wait for them to figure it out. He does not demand courage. He comes to them, he touches them, and then he speaks. There's also a marvelous thing going on here. He is showing them what their bodies, what our bodies will be like. That's a huge reason for Jesus taking them up there. He gives them and us a preview of the resurrection, his and ours. Because the same Jesus will be laid in the ground shortly after this. And that's not bright. But he will arise and stand again. The word arise then is not just for the mountain. It's for the grave. This is the body that will be nailed. This is the body that will be buried. This is the body that will rise. Jesus is showing them that ahead of time. This is not the end. This is what's coming. And the glory they fear now will one day raise them. And the same voice that will call him, Jesus, out of the grave is already calling, already entering us into his resurrection, buried with him in baptism, and what? Raised to newness of life. Arise. Resurrection talk. Not because they earned it, not because they understood it, but because Christ gives it. And so here's what we need to know about that resurrection, our resurrection too. It does not mean that we will float away. It does not mean becoming something else. It means this body raised. And the hands that touched you will still have scars. The voice that speaks will still be his. And the body that shines will still be human. Because he rises like that, we will too. Not because we stood strong our whole lives. Remember, we cannot make ourselves get up. We have to be lifted up. This is the whole MO, the modus operandi, the mode of operation of Jesus. This is what he does. This is what he's been doing ever since and still to this day, giving us many foretastes. Remember, many rehearsal dinners. Look, do you not know that we practice resurrection daily? Every night, God puts us to sleep. We stop controlling. We stop working. We stop proving. Sleep's a little death, people. Sleep is a mini death. And then every morning, God gives us back our breath. Our bodies rise. Our eyes open. And that's not a habit. That's mercy. We rehearse what God has promised. The disciples stood up that day because Jesus told them to. And one day you will stand up because he tells you to. He will come to you. He will touch you and he will say, arise, and you will. What about Moses and Elijah appearing? Didn't talk much about them, Pastor. Maybe I could do that next year. But for this year, all you need to know is they disappeared. And that was not accidental. See, Moses and Elijah stood in the place of the law and the prophets. And what can the law and prophets do? Well, they can testify, they can point, they can even shine. But they cannot raise. They must leave it to the one who can. They leave the disciples where they found them, face down. Only Jesus remains, because the law and the prophets cannot save. Only Christ can. And he saves by coming down, by making contact and speaking life. Arise is not a motivational speech either. It is anticipation. Arise is not an escape from creation. It is creation restored. And you and I get to experience this every day, every morning. Rise and shine is not mere mortal man slang. It is Jesus' transfiguration call. Or how about this one? I remember the quartermaster one day piping reveille on the 1NC like this. Wakey, wakey, rise and shine. You've had your sleep, I've had mine. The 1MC, if you're wondering, this stands for the main circuit, by the way, on the ship. And it's to communicate information to the entire crew. It's kind of like the modern bugle. And then reveille is the call to wake up and start your day. Jesus calls us. But first, he creates the main circuit by coming down the mountain, going to the cross, and then completes the circuit in the resurrection. That's why the trumpet will sound, to reveille you and I to a new mountain. Jesus is giving a preview of the finish, the finishing of what he promised to do, defeat death, crush sin, and separate light from darkness. And then, it is only then, that you can finally feel assured, finally feel at peace, finally see Jesus and remain. When this true Christ even took Peter, James, and John, that was a preview. Preview for Easter Sunday that hadn't even happened yet. So they got to go to the future for a minute. That's why Jesus then tells them, do not tell anyone yet. They wouldn't believe you even if you tried. So I'm going to show them too, for real. I'm going to prove it to them. But we know on this side of the resurrection, we already know now. The prophetic word came to pass just as it said. And we pay attention to that lamp shining in a dark place so that now we can speak of it. We talk. We do tell now that the Son of Man has been raised from the dead. And we do worship, we do stand, we do lift our eyes and see Jesus. Not in fear, not in shadow, not in veiled glory, but in the glory of grace revealed. And grace unveiling it, all that for us. And grace unveiled is simply God's holiness for you. His arise. And his have no fear proclaimed over you one day will transfigure you. Yeah. And check this out. The very beginning, if you caught it, the number of days. Matthew speaks, this took place after 6 days have passed. What happens after 6 days here and now? What's the next day of the week? The Sabbath day. Not a coincidence that after 6 days this happened. The day to arise has come now. Jesus' touch is calling you this day. Arise. After 6 days, now you're here. Now you're ready to arise. Arise to the voice of the beloved Son saying, arise and have no fear. Jesus remains, church. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.